Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of many, many weeks, we're going to be studying the book of Romans, the epistle of Paul to the Romans. We understand, of course, and it's very important that we begin with this, we understand, of course, that God's word is inspired. In other words, the word is the word of God himself. Even though God used men to write the word, this is God's word that we're talking about. And everything in this book is God's word. Sometimes people disagree in doctrine. And the solution to any disagreement in doctrine is to go back to the word of God itself and find out what God's word actually has to say. Many times we read the books of men. We read books that men have written and ideas that men have propounded. But these ideas are their ideas. They may not be God's ideas at all. So when we want to find the truth, we go to the word of God. And in this study, we're going to be taking the entire book of Romans. I will tell you a little bit later what parts I'm going to especially emphasize, but we will be taking the entire book of Romans and going through this book to discover exactly what God says about his salvation. I want to divide this into several parts, and I want to begin by giving you something of the background of the book. And then we're going to do a brief survey in another message of the book. And then finally, we'll get into the text of the book itself, beginning with Romans chapter 1, verse 1. But today, I want to begin with you, and I want to talk about some of the background of the book. It's very important that we understand the situation in Rome and the situation of these Roman believers. And this will help us to understand why Paul wrote as he did, by the inspiration of God, and how we are to understand this book properly. We notice, for instance, that these believers were in the city of Rome. Rome, of course, was the capital of the Roman Empire. It was a very important place. It was a place where the emperor himself lived. It was a place where regulations were extremely tight as far as the Roman government was concerned. It was a place where there was worship of the emperor, where the worship of any other god was hated. And so these Christians were Christians under persecution. They were Christians who were facing great difficulties. We note this, for instance, in the lives of two people named Priscilla and Aquila. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Paul now has gone to the city of Corinth, and in the city of Corinth he meets two people who had come down from Rome. Let's begin with verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and he found there a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. So here were two Christians under persecution. It's interesting about their lives, and I don't want to study their lives with you, but let me just note this. It's interesting about their lives that these two people were very, very devout Christians. They had fled from Rome under great persecution. Now they had come down to the city of Corinth. A little bit later, in chapter 18, they're going to follow Paul over to the city of Ephesus. And there they're going to have a very important part. In the last part of the book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and so forth, was there. And Priscilla and Aquila were there to instruct him and to help him grow in the Lord. Apparently he was a very brilliant man, but he was a man who really did not have clear teaching concerning the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. So they were there to teach him. And then later we read of Priscilla and Aquila being back in Rome again. When he writes his book of Romans, for instance, in the 16th chapter, he mentions Priscilla and Aquila again. And why do I say all of this? I say all of this to indicate that the situation in Rome itself was very uncertain. It was a very difficult situation. It was a situation involving persecution, where Christians could be killed. And it was going to be in that city in later years, after 70 AD, when thousands of Christians would be killed. And then in that period of time between 70 AD and 200 AD, thousands more would be killed. And so it was an uncertain situation. We do know there were many believers there. When Paul writes the book of Romans, for instance, in 56 AD, there were many, many believers in that city. But apparently, they were believers who were comparatively uninstructed. They had had very little instruction in the things of the truth, of the Word of God, and they needed this truth. Now, I want to answer a couple of questions there, and it's very important we know the answers to these questions if we can find them. First of all, what was the source of their conversion? They were hundreds, in fact, many hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, where the gospel had first been preached. They were many hundreds of miles away from Paul's farthest outreach. His farthest outreach had been places like Macedonia and Greece in the south, the city of Corinth, for instance. And these believers were hundreds of miles away from there. And so the question would be, what was the source of their conversion? Some people believe that some of them were saved at Pentecost. Many of them had come down, for instance, if they were Jewish believers, they had come down to the city of Jerusalem for the festival called Pentecost, and many of them were saved through the preaching of Paul, not especially Paul, but Peter and John. They were saved through their preaching on the day of Pentecost. Some believe that perhaps they were reached by the believers who were scattered in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, there was a great persecution broke out in Jerusalem and in Palestine, and the believers were scattered to many places. It seems a little bit unlikely that the scattered believers would have gone as far as Rome. Mostly they went up to the islands to the north of Palestine. They went up to places like Antioch, which was on the mainland, and then some of the islands offshore. And then others of them believe that some of them had been saved through the ministry of Paul himself. In other words, like Priscilla and Aquila, many of them perhaps had come down to Corinth. They had been scattered by persecution. They were unsaved when they came there. And they came down to Corinth, and under Paul's ministry, many of them were saved. We don't know exactly how these people were saved, but we do know that now he seems to be writing to believers. He calls them brethren, and it seems to be that they're not just simply Jewish believers or Jewish people who would be his fellow Jews, but rather they were brethren in the Lord. And so it's possible that any one of these things could have been true. They could have been saved at Pentecost and then gone back to Rome. They could have been saved through Paul or perhaps by some other means. Or maybe even one of Paul's followers, one of his associates, had gone there to reach them with the gospel. Now, what we see in the book of Romans is that they had a relationship with Paul from afar. That's the second question. Had Paul ever been to Rome? And the answer is no. Paul very clearly indicates this in chapter 1 and then again in chapter 16 and in fact in chapter 15. He very clearly indicates he had never been to Rome. There is some teaching by some that Peter had been to Rome, and I want to be very sensitive in what I'm about to say. There is no biblical evidence that Peter ever was in Rome, that he ever went there, even for a visit. Paul was there in 2 Timothy. Paul speaks of his imprisonment there. He never mentions Peter at all. If they were in the same prison, as some people believe they were, then surely Paul would have, out of courtesy, mentioned Peter, but he never mentions him at all. And so in the New Testament, there's no evidence that Peter had ever gone to Rome, in spite of what many people think and even teach. We do believe that Peter probably died somewhere down in Asia. He died about the same time as Paul, in about 66 AD, and we believe he probably died somewhere down in Asia. And so we find that neither Peter nor Paul nor any other apostle had ever been to Rome. In other words, these believers were alone. They may not even have had trained leaders, and I want to speak of that in just a moment. They may not have had anyone who had thorough and deep knowledge of the Word of God, but they were saved. They had had some knowledge of the truth. And so they had a good relationship with Paul. Apparently Paul now was writing them. Some of them had come to Corinth. They had met him perhaps. Priscilla and Aquila were there. And of course they had gone back to Rome again. And so Paul had a very close relationship, perhaps the closest of any of the apostles, with these believers in Rome. One other question I want to answer before we close this broadcast, and that is, what was their knowledge and what were their lack of knowledge? Many times people get saved but they're never built up in the faith. This may be true of some of you listening on the broadcast today, and I say this respectfully. You have been saved, but you've never really been taught. No one ever discipled you. No one ever took you under their wing and explained more about the Word of God. You've never had opportunity to really study the Word of God. Well, this was the case with many of the believers in the New Testament. We see this, for instance, in the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey between 45 AD and 48 AD, the Apostle Paul went into this area of Galatia, went to many, many different cities, was persecuted in almost every city, and then had to flee those cities. And many, many people were won through his ministry in Galatia. The problem was, however, they were not built up in the faith. After Paul returned to Jerusalem, he received word that some people with whom we would call the Judaizers had come in there teaching them that it was important for them to obey the law of Moses. I'll be speaking about this later. I don't want to get into this subject today. But they were told in Galatia they were to obey the law, and in fact the law would even help them go to heaven. They were to be saved by faith, but with faith they were also to depend upon the law of Moses. And so this was false teaching. It was very clearly false teaching. And the people in Galatia simply had not been taught as they should have been taught. Paul had simply not had time there to teach them as he should have. And so in Galatia, we find the same problem we find in Rome. They were believers, they were sincere, they were passionate followers of the Lord, but they lacked knowledge. And they were very open to false teaching if false teaching would come. So this book of Romans is going to deal with all of the basics of salvation, the basics of the Christian life, the basics of what God expects of them. Now I want to close this broadcast for now. We'll be continuing this again tomorrow. But I want to simply say that I hope that you will read the book of Romans and you will follow me day by day with your Bibles open as we get into the text of the book. And we'll be getting into the text after one more day of study. May the Lord bless you, each one. May he help you to know the truth, to believe the truth, and to follow the truth.